The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible, Easy Breathe. Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed or do-it-yourself kits available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com. Get 20% off today. Thank you, Easy Breathe, for being our partner.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on Sirius XM Triumph, Channel 132. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I hope you can join us tonight on A&E, 11 p.m. Eastern. The case of missing D.C. intern Chandra Levy is far from over, and that's a problem. To Dr. Brian Russell, you know, Dr. Russell, Gary Condit, the U.S. congressman from the Modesto area, allegedly was having an affair with this young girl whose dream comes true. She gets an internship in D.C. She travels all the way to D.C. where this married statesman allegedly starts a sex affair with her. Then she goes missing. You know, Dr. Russell, of course people look at Condit when it all goes down. I mean, the allegations of a sex affair with a girl 20 plus years younger than you while you're married, that just clouds the entire search for the missing intern.
Well, that's right. And even if you take out of the equation the fact that, you know, there's the age difference and he's married and all that, on our show Fatal Vows, we always talk about how when there is a murder, the authorities always start, it's much more likely that somebody is murdered by somebody they know, and oftentimes somebody with whom they've been in a very close relationship than it is that they're murdered by a stranger. And so it makes total sense that the authorities start. It's like a target. You know, you start at the bullseye That's the individual who's now deceased. And then that very first ring around the bullseye are the people who are closest, including any significant others. And then you look at them first and work your way out progressively to those outer circles where the strangers are. And so it makes total sense that he would have been looked at, and you can't feel any sympathy for him given the horrendous behavior that he did engage in, cheating on his wife and having this relationship with her.
Well, here's the other thing. He never publicly stated, yes, I had an affair. It was stupid. I shouldn't have done it. But I had nothing to do with her disappearance. He said repeatedly that he had nothing to do with the disappearance. He did go speak with police. So the level of cooperation is still a matter of police knowledge. He never publicly admitted to an affair. So that's why we continue to say allegedly had an affair with her, although numerous cell phone calls at all hours of the day and night were to his cell phone. Even when he was speaking to Dr. Phil, his story seemed to change about how often he had been with her. But that's a whole nother can of worms. Time passes. She still can't be found. To Dr. William Maroney, renowned medical examiner joining us out of Madison Heights, author of a new book, American Narcan, on Amazon right now. Big, big mistake, Dr. Maroney, because police did not go to her apartment building. We're talking about Chandra Levy. Dan Abrams and I go at it tonight with new bombshell evidence on A&E, 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern tonight. Dr. Maroney, police did not go to Chandra's apartment to get the security video that would have shown what time she left her apartment the day she goes missing. How was she dressed? Was she dressed to go jogging? Was she with anybody? Did she have a shopping bag with her? I mean, you know, a million different ways. Just by looking at her, you may have gotten a clue as to where she was going. By the time police finally got there, they had videoed over the day she goes missing, Dr. Maroney.
Here's the hard part about that. We may have better technology now, but they didn't have it back then. And we're talking about trace recovery. The amount of things you can get now is so small. If they came up with remains, it wouldn't go to a medical examiner. It would go to a bone anthropologist. And these things, it's almost like they were protecting the politician. So, you know, that really disrupts forensic medicine. We do the best we can.
The case was advanced, Dr. Maroney, because it took a full year after she goes missing. Police get a call from a jogger who finds a human skull in Rock Creek Park, not far from Chandra's apartment. Police find her Walkman, a USC shirt, and bones scattered. They had to use dental records. But using dental records, police were able to decide once and for all they had in fact found the D.C. intern, Chandra Levy. Now, before I get to the forensics, Dr. Maroney, at the time Chandra goes missing, the alleged lover, Gary Condrant, the U.S. representative, has an airtight alibi. At the time she leaves her apartment, he is with the vice president of the United States. I mean, you really can't argue with that. Then everybody goes wild. Did he order a hit? Did he have some thugs kill her? There was never any evidence at all produced to suggest he ordered her death. And again, he has an airtight alibi. But back to her body, Dr. Maroney, why did they have to use dental records to identify that it was absolutely her? And how do you do that?
When you have dental records, you go to a past X-ray of the mouth. The shape of the teeth and the distance in the space is unique, like a fingerprint. And the location of cavities, chips, the angle of the teeth is very specific, and that can be reproduced in the remains. And you have to use that because there's so much breakdown. There's no DNA available in the mud and the grass and the fields in an outdoor exposure. So what you have left is hard bone, jaw, and hard teeth. That's also one of the ways they identified Lee Harvey Oswald in the Kennedy assassination later. They looked at dental records. It's been a common practice. They have really good dentists. And you don't have any DNA left.
It doesn't end there, Dr. Maroney. It doesn't end there. The man that I believe is a main chief suspect, Ingmar Gondike, had attacked multiple women in the same park, really just yards away from Chandra's body. Okay. He has a tattoo on his chest that looks like Chandra Levy. Yes, this guy, Gondike, has managed to walk free. Why? Take a listen to this.
You'll see that Gondike implicated himself in Levy's murder to four different people.
You've got to believe that prosecutors are going to retry him. Oh, wait a second. They're not.
Day one, Gary Condit was caught in the cops' crosshairs.
But by him evading the truth.
This isn't a show about sex. It's
it
who
took
killed Chandra
away
Levy?
Focus on the homicide.
No.
Even up to this moment, Chandra's mother and father devastated.
I have many, many, sometimes doubts about things because, you know, I have lots of questions that remain unanswered to me.
It was really pretty bad, you know, just because we still had hope that she would be found alive and come back, and then she wasn't.
There isn't a day that I don't get up and think about my daughter. Not a day. You know, it's pain. I mean, I see her whole life here.
Why can't we resolve the case and put Chandra's killer behind bars? Tonight, A&E, 11 p.m. Eastern. Please join us. A 5-year-old Kansas boy is missing, and the hunt goes on. But now it seems as if the water is getting more and more cloudy, more murky in the search for Lucas Hernandez. Listen to this.
Happy birthday, dear Lucas. Happy birthday to you. Blow out your candle. Good job, bud. You're 5 years old. Tomorrow.
Happy birthday to Lucas, his 5th birthday party. I can still remember the twins' 5th birthday party. It wasn't long after that that Lucas goes missing, and he's missing right now. Take a listen to this.
It is with a heavy heart I'm here with you today. Still missing is 5-year-old Lucas Hernandez. Lucas was last seen wearing black sweats, white socks, and a gray shirt with a bear on it. Our thoughts and prayers remain with Lucas and Lucas's family as we are diligently investigating the situation. On Friday, February 17th at approximately 6:15, officers were dispatched to a lost juvenile call at a residence in the 600 block of South Edgemoor. When they arrived, they made contact with a 26-year-old female who is the stepmother of Lucas. She reported to officers that she last saw Lucas in his bedroom at approximately 3 p.m. prior to her showering and falling asleep. Officers and canine units have diligently checked the home and the neighborhood with no luck of locating Lucas at this time. Currently, Wichita Police Department detectives continue to speak with family and follow up with any leads regarding this unfortunate situation. So we are asking the community if has any information regarding this case, so please call tips in to 316-383-4661, and there will be individuals at our emergency operation command center to answer those tips. However, at this point, we're asking citizens to share the information on their social media pages and call the tip line with any information. We do currently have investigators and officers that are continuing to search the area for Lucas.
Straight out to Chuck Roberts, Crime Stories investigative reporter. I want to talk first about how Lucas Hernandez goes missing. If you take one look at this little boy, it's going to break your heart. The big brown eyes, the smile, he's missing some teeth, just 5 years old, goes missing in the middle of the day. Chuck Roberts, let's talk about how he goes missing. Who, what, where, when, why?
Lucas was home in a little rented house in the south part of Wichita, living with his stepmother and his father, who was away. He's an oil field worker and was a long way away in New Mexico at the time. And on the afternoon of February 17th, a fairly warm day in the mid-60s, the stepmom, Emily Glass, comes home. She takes a shower. She lays down for a nap. And when she gets up about 6 o'clock, 3 hours later, she goes into Lucas's room and he's gone. No sign at all. The back door is open, but she can't find Lucas. She calls police about 6:15 and tells exactly that story, but they find no evidence of a break-in and no sign of an abduction. So there's no, you know, Maddie's call, there's no alert for an abduction at all. And the search goes on.
Wait a minute. Whoa, right there. Ashley Wilcott, Atlanta juvenile judge and founder of ChildCrimeWatch.com. Ashley, wait a minute. She calls police at 6. Did I get that timeline wrong?
No, you got it right. And it's something is hinky, right? So she takes a nap and, oh, she wakes up and, oh, the child's missing. And then later calls. No, very suspicious.
What about the Olive Garden? Hold on a moment. Chuck Roberts wasn't. Is there another child in the home other than Lucas?
There is.
Who she refers to as her stepson.
Yes.
Okay. Who's the other child in the home?
The other child is a one-year-old daughter. And the day before Lucas was missing, she and the little girl go to Olive Garden. And she apparently texts her boyfriend, Jonathan, that she smoked a couple of bowls of weed in the back before they went in for a meal. And that was the 16th. So apparently Lucas was left home on the 16th. He was seen by a neighbor peeking through a window that day before, that the 16th of February.
Wait, that's the day before he goes missing?
Yes, the 16th.
Did anybody see him other than the stepmother after the 16th?
Not to my knowledge, no. I don't believe so.
So for all I know, Ashley Wilcott, he could have been put out the night of the 16th. The only sighting I have of this five-year-old boy, Lucas Hernandez, who just had his birthday party, was this stepmother. She calls herself a stepmother. She's a girlfriend slung up in the home, but she has been entrusted with taking care of the boy. She's got her own one-year-old daughter there who she takes out to Olive Garden and leaves Lucas at home to what? Eat dust balls on the floor?
That's right.
And somebody else sees him staring all alone out the window. Does that not break your heart, Ashley?
Absolutely. That's the last sighting of him. And I have no doubt in my mind that this child was murdered after that by this mother. And the worst part, Nancy, is there seems to be no remorse, no admission, no, you know, all these lies about when last seen and what happened. And bottom line, that was the last sighting of this child ever alive.
And two bowls of marijuana. Mark Class with me, founder of Class Kids Foundation. Mark Class, what, two bowls of marijuana?
Listen, what law enforcement has to do, and I agree with your previous guess as to probably what happened. What law enforcement has to do is they have to investigate all of the possibilities in this situation. Obviously, the girlfriend slash stepmom was the last person to see him, so a lot of suspicion is going to fall at her feet. But they've also got to look at the other possibilities, that it was somebody else that knew the boy, that it was that the boy actually did wander off, or even the possibility, the rare possibility of a stranger abduction. But I have no doubt that they will get to the bottom of this, and we will know what happened to little Lucas.
Mark, you said the rare possibility of stranger abduction. Why do you say it's rare that there is a stranger abduction from the home?
Well, I say the rare possibility of stranger abduction because those kinds of events really only occur a couple of hundred times a year, particularly the kind that result in the death of a child, as was my daughter Polly's case. But it's hundreds of thousands of times a year that parents or people very close to the child are involved in their disappearance. And in this situation, where this girlfriend slash stepmother was the last person to see the little boy, even more suspicion is going to fall on her feet.
Dr. Brian Russell, I mean, everybody with me, in addition to Mark Klass, founder of Klass Kids Foundation, you can find it online. Dr. Brian Russell, lawyer and psychologist and host of Investigation Discovery's hit show, Fatal Vows. You know, evil stepmother, it's not just a myth.
Yeah, sadly, it sounds like there was tremendous chaos in this household, and this kid was living in, it's just heartbreaking when you think about how he was seen peering through the window while she was off apparently at a restaurant with her younger other child, having done some drugs. You know, I worry when I listen about this case, about something that I know you've discussed recently with Dan Abrams in your new television project, Grace versus Abrams, and it's the Casey Anthony case. And one of the sad things that I think perpetrators learned from that case is that if you shut up and wait a long time before helping or never help and hope that it takes a long time for a body to be discovered, it might deteriorate to the point where it's difficult for forensic examiners to determine exactly the cause of death, and that might help you skate.
You know, Dr. Brian Russell, you're so right. Ashley Wilcott, founder of ChildCrimeWatch.com. I mean, there's Hansel and Gretel. Okay, there is Cinderella. There is who's the one that eats the apple, Jackie?
Snow White.
Yeah, Snow White. Thank you. I mean, it's from time immemorial. You hear about the evil stepmother. Well, now I see why, Ashley.
And do you know statistically, Nancy, there are so many different statistics about it being done by a step-parent, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and they choose, the parent often chooses that person over their child. So statistically, this is not that unusual.
So the dad is out working, the bio dad is out working on, I guess it was an oil rig. Is that right, Jackie? Yes. And out of the blue, Lucas, his five-year-old little boy, is just gone after the stepmom, his live-in, enjoys two bowls of marijuana and goes out for a nice meal at Olive Garden, leaving the baby at home. I mean, I chase the children, not John Davis so much, he's a big horse, but Lucy, I chase her, begging her to eat. I mean, every time she turns around, I'm putting a food in her hand because she's so thin. Going to Olive Garden and leaving the baby at home?
Right. And when they take one child, their biological child, and not the other child, the stepchild, right there, red flag, red flag, red flag.
Now we are hearing, of all things, a day late and a dollar short, that this stepmother's previous husband had pled to a court to keep his children away from her. Why is that, Chuck Roberts? I mean, Lucas is left alone with her, but the bio dad of her other children begs the court to keep her away? Why?
It was 12 days before Lucas went missing that the father of her two sons asked the judge to prohibit her from having any contact with them. He says that they had red marks and visible fingerprints on the boy's chest when he got them back from a visit with Emily Glass. and last blamed the red marks on her boyfriend, Jonathan Hernandez. She quickly blamed him, who was, of course, Lucas's father. But on February 17th, what would quickly turn into a massive police investigation, Glass reported that Lucas was missing from the rental home. So all this took place in the space of, you know, 2 weeks. But you're right, the father of her two sons asked a judge for a court order to prohibit her from having any contact with them.
You know, Mark Glass, founder of Glass Kid Foundation, he's right. Chuck Roberts is right. Just 12 days before little Lucas goes missing, the father of her own young sons reported a, quote, safety concern to police after the boys visited her. The day after one of his two sons returned home from visiting the stepmother, he was covered in red marks, invisible fingerprints on his chest, says the boy's father, who files this report with police. Now, according to that document, an affidavit from the father, Glass blamed the red marks on her boyfriend, Lucas's dad, but the dad, he was out on an oil rig. So how did this, I don't understand why he, Lucas, is left with this mother when she's been petitioned to a court to stay away from her own children. How did that happen?
Well, I think that Lucas's father made a fatal miscalculation, and that this woman perhaps was able to present various sides of her personality to different people under different circumstances. But it looks like at the bottom line, she's an abuser. She might even be a sadist. She might even be a murderer. I would think we're just starting to get a real portrait of exactly who this woman is.
Chuck Roberts, before we lay all the blame at the stepmother's feet, you are investigating an alternate theory about what where Lucas is, this five-year-old little nonverbal boy. What's the alternate theory about where he is if he wasn't with the stepmother?
Well, the alternate theory is that it was a kidnapping hatched by his bio mother, Jamie Orr. She was living for a couple of months in Kansas City with a man named Robert Cook. And they lived together. She had friends that came over, and that sort of scared him, so he asked her to leave, and she finally did. She left on February 15th. This is Jamie Orr, the bio mother of little Lucas. She heads south with a friend to Oklahoma, and she takes text pictures of the trip all the way. She does one in Carthage, Missouri. She does one in southwestern Missouri.
I don't get it, Chuck. I mean, she's everywhere but Wichita, Kansas, where Lucas goes missing. How can she possibly have the boy?
Well, she doesn't. According to Cook, she went to Oklahoma to have an alibi, that she was trying to get Lucas away from an abusive situation. And she had her friends find a time when Emily Glass was high and otherwise nodding off, and that's when the break-in would occur, according to Robert Cook, according to this theory, and that's when Lucas would be taken. She wasn't physically there at the time because she was taking pictures of herself on that day in Oklahoma. Woodall, Oklahoma is her last text. She arrives there on the day Lucas goes missing in Oklahoma. And Robert Cook's theory is that she had some friend of hers take Lucas from the home to get him away from this abusive situation and take him to a safe place.
Okay, I got it. So it's back on the bio mom. Okay, who is Robert Cook?
Robert Cook is, he installs air conditioners in Kansas City. He is a friend of David Orr. David Orr is Jamie Orr's husband, estranged husband, lives in Colorado Springs.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Okay. Hold on. I need a pro at this with me. Dr. Brian Russell, host of Investigation Discovery's hit show Fatal Vows, lawyer and psychologist. Go ahead and rub it in. You've got 2 degrees. I've got one, blah, blah. Okay. Dr. Brian Russell, you hear where this is coming in. You got to consider the source. Jamie Orr is Lucas's bio mom. Okay, she's out of the picture for all intents and purposes. She lives somewhere else. This is a friend of her ex-husband. Like, you don't think he's got an axe to grind of some sort? And so they've hatched this theory that all of her text photos are really all over the country, are really establishing alibi while she has some secret friends steal the boy. Come on, Dr. Russell, how long do you think this so-called friend is going to keep their yap shut?
Yeah, I'm not buying it, but I have to tell you, I wish I were, because then I would have much more hope that this young child was still alive.
I mean, but really, the bad blood that goes down when there's a divorce, I think this is the more likely scenario. And granted, nobody's been found guilty. Lucas is still missing. But I want, instead of some cockamamie theory hatched by the ex-husband's friend, that the bio mom staged a kidnapping, a long-distance kidnapping, I want you to hear Lucas's blood relative, his aunt, Sally Rasmussen. She talks to KAKE-TV Wichita reporter Greg Miller about her concerns about little Lucas's safety.
It's nothing, and because I was a CPS investigator myself, you know, I just feel helpless.
She was sent photos of Lucas last year and saw multiple bruises on his face and neck. So she says she called Protective Services.
All these stories I've been hearing for months about him possibly being abused.
She only got more concerned after the father and son came to New Mexico for work. She says she and another relative saw more signs that the child was hurt. And so another report was filed in that state.
And they investigated and had a forensic interview and all that kind of stuff and sent them. I guess the police didn't think there was enough evidence. When I first found out he was missing, I was suspicious and then worried.
It's a five-year-old child. They don't just vanish in thin air.
The theory that the bio mom somehow plans a long-distance kidnapping by so-called unnamed friends who have yet to emerge, that did not wash with the deputy police chief, Gavin Sealer. Listen.
This case is now considered a criminal investigation. Investigators have arrested a 26-year-old female on two counts of child endangerment. Charges are related to new information gathered during this investigation. Officers and investigators have been working on this case nonstop since 6:15 Saturday evening. We have collected information through countless interviews, follow-ups on leads, and examining evidence. This incident has touched many in our community. I know that there are many more questions as a result of this. However, this continues to be a criminal investigation, and we cannot go into further details. The search for Lucas is ongoing, and we are still asking the public for assistance. We continue to provide every resource that we have available to find Lucas. This is our priority. If you have any information on his whereabouts, please call this tip line. Number is 316-383-4661. As a result of this investigation, too, we would also like to thank those other agencies that have been assisting us over the past few days. Those are the FBI, KBI, the District Attorney's Office, and the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office. That's all I've got at this point.
Yes. 26-year-old, is that the stepmother?
That is the stepmother.
Emily Glass?
It is 26-year-old female.
Endangering the child, would that be endangering Lucas?
There are two children involved in this.
So two separate counts or two separate children?
There's two separate counts, correct.
Would one of them be Lucas?
One of those children is Lucas, yes.
Do we know where the other child is? Or do we know if the
other
child is
involving a one-year-old child?
Is that her daughter?
Going to that.
Do you consider at this point that his disappearance is likely going to be a homicide?
At this point in time, we hope not. We hope that we are able to find Lucas and that he is alive and well.
Where are you guys searching now?
This investigation will continue on as far as specific locations. There's various locations that we're looking at. I won't name any specific locations.
Can you elaborate on the nature of endangering the child? Like, was it leaving a child alone or the nature of it?
I won't get into the investigation charges.
When was she arrested?
She was arrested about 7.
You one more question?
What information, and I guess when did you guys get that information that turned this into a criminal investigation?
This has been a result of, as I mentioned, we started at 6:15 on this 4 days ago. And so as a result of all the interviews and throughout the investigation and stuff, and talking with people, evidence that was collected and things, that's when we turned it into the criminal investigation as well.
Have you guys been able to verify her account of what happened in terms of her being the last person to see him?
Again, that's all part of the investigation. I don't want to get into details of it, okay? And so I won't discuss that part of it.
It is possible there could be more charges.
There is possibility of more charges, correct.
But that's not the end of it. The stepmother arrested, we still don't know where Lucas is. And as a matter of fact, at this moment, Emily Glass is requesting lower bond so she can get out of jail. Listen.
In this case, this bond reflects crimes that are not charged in the complaint. The severity of the alleged crime committed compared to the bond itself is a huge exaggerated difference in what any other similarly situated defendant would receive. Additionally, she's been in custody since February 21st. This crime carries a maximum sentence of 12 months and maximum fine nowhere near to $50,000. The possible punishment allowed by law does not support such a high bond amount. Emily is from this area. She resides in this area. All of her family lives in this area. Her sink case is in this county. She's not a flight risk.
With all matters being considered, the court believes that in this particular case, under these facts and circumstances, with that ongoing investigation occurring, which involves a minor child, that case in itself and that investigation makes Ms. Glass a flight risk in order to respond and answer to these charges in this case. So with all that in mind and all that under consideration, the court believes that the bond in this case is appropriately set and will deny the motion.
And Nancy, Emily Glass spoke exclusively from jail to Fact Finder 12 investigator Devin Fassbinder.
There's obviously a lot of rumors going on, a lot of things that people are saying about your stepson Lucas. Just curious if there's anything that you want to say about that situation.
In the past, you know, there's been times he's, you know, seen a boy playing with older brothers and his cousins. And now he gets bruises. He has had some falls. He's like his son, too, you know. Maybe I may not have given birth to him, but he's my baby boy today. I take care of him every day. This is very shameful that this is happening at a time like this right now.
Do you have any idea where Lucas might be at this point?
Yes, I wish I did. But if anyone does know, because me and Dad are very sick, you know, and I keep thinking that he didn't know what could have happened. You know, he has sisters and he has brothers. He's so loved.
Now, Emily, I hope you understand. I do have to ask you because of, you know, the arrest and because of a lot of rumors. Did you hurt Lucas?
I did not. I would never hurt my son. Because there's a huge history between, you know, the family from New Mexico and I, and all of the accusations. A majority of the time when he had got hurt and ended up with bruises, he was under my care. Because I would send him off with my cousins, and there's older boys over there, and he's a very little, small boy, and he can get hurt easily. And when he's playing with older boys who are like 10 years old, even though you have to tell him, hey, Luke, be careful. We got to tell him all the time, you know, be careful.
So you're saying that all of those bruises and those things from the pictures and the accusations are all from him just being a little boy and playing with other boys?
Absolutely. I mean, there's times where him and my older boys would be rough around the house, and they would even get rougher, you know, normal boy things.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would want to say to Lucas if you could right now?
That I love him very much. And I want him home. I want him home with me and his sister and his dad and me. He misses his father so much.
Can you tell me any more about what happened that Saturday when he disappeared?
Just the fact that he took a shower and he took a nap like we always do. We put him down for a movie and his pull-up because, you know, he has accidents when he sleeps, so that's why he had a pull-up on. And he had fallen asleep after my shower, which is why I went down. Ma'am, I gotta go.
As of right now, Emily Glass still trying to get a lower bond, but that's not the end of it. To Alan Duke, another development with the so-called evil stepmother. What is it?
Well, this is unbelievable. We have been told by law enforcement sources that Emily Glass is with child. She is pregnant in jail, apparently, before she was arrested.
Mark Glass, founder of Glass Kids Foundation. Mark, I imagine that every day of your life, you think about if you could have your daughter Polly back. And every day of my life, I thank God that I managed to live through. You and I were texting, Mark, delivering the children at age 48 when Lucy and I almost died. I mean, a child is, it's the most, it's transformed my whole life. And here is this woman, Emily Glass, with her ex-husband begging a court to keep her away from their children after they come home covered in marks from a visit with her. Then you have her in two bowls of pot leaving little Lucas alone while she goes out to eat. Now he's missing, and now she's going to have another child. Mark, I mean, really.
One wonders why this woman continues to have children given her history, her obvious history with children. If I could speak to something else very quickly, Nancy, in missing child cases, while the child is still missing, we always come up with alternative theories, best case scenarios, such as this idea that the bio mom somehow engineered a kidnapping to keep the child safe. As fanciful and wonderful as that could possibly be, I'm afraid, as your other guest said, that it's not real. And it's only wishful thinking.
I think you're right. I agree with you, Mark Glass, and Brian Russell. Brian, joining us from Investigation Discovery. Brian, you know, you've got two children covered in red marks and fingerprints on their chests, crying to their dad after visiting the bio mom. You've got Lucas Hernandez missing. It just doesn't seem right, Brian, that people whose children end up mistreated get to keep having children when other people would give their right arm, their eye teeth to have children?
Yeah, I know. Every time I encounter one of these stories, I think about you and how long you waited before you were able to become a mom. And I think about all the people out there who are, you know, trying to go through all kinds of expensive, high-tech medical procedures to have kids. And, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, you and I have talked before on this program about how, you know, you see wonderful people, wonderful dads, wonderful moms being murder victims. And you sit there and you go, you know, how is it that Castro goes until he's, you know, 150 years old, you know, these horrible dictators and you know, it's just not fair.
No, it's not. And I think about in my line of work, Dr. Brian Russell, I think about all the moms and dads I have spoken with whose child went missing or was killed, or they have no idea where the child is, and what they would give their own life to have the child back safe and sound. Right now, Emily Glass, trying her best to get a lowered bond and get out of jail. This, as we still are on the search for Lucas Hernandez, beautiful little boy. Take a listen to the very latest.
Nancy, with more than 100 local officers and FBI agents involved in investigating the disappearance of little Lucas, his dad still isn't satisfied and wants to hire a private investigator. He's trying to raise $25,000 through a GoFundMe campaign. Jonathan Hernandez, the father, says, and I quote, "I am setting up this fundraiser to find my sweet little boy. I'm very excited to say that Klein Investigations and Consulting have agreed to take on the task of finding Wichita's son." So the investigative agency says that they'll start once $25,000 is paid up front to cover their logistical expenses, and then they'll start investigating. How can they help local law enforcement and the FBI do it? They say, well, they're going to try.
Please, if you have any information at all on what became of little Lucas, please call the tip line.
We need those tips coming in. If they're not coming in, we got nothing to go on.
Alan, please give us the tip line.
Nancy, investigators ask that anyone with information about Lucas Hernandez, where he might be, what might have happened to them, please call 316-383-466 immediately.
The search for Lucas Hernandez goes on. Nancy Grace, Crime Stories, signing off. Goodbye, friend. Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible, Easy Breathe. Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed or do-it-yourself kits available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com. Get 20% off today. Thank you, Easy Breathe, for being our partner.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible. It's Dexcom. With the new Dexcom G7, you get better diabetes results without those awful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or to your watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affect your glucose. It makes it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's so easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thanks, Dexcom, for being our partner.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.